Good morning. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission to the 20th of October 2022 will come to order. We have a late submitted document. Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, ma'am. I mailed it last. Do you need me to remail?
Let me find it.
I see Commissioner Broussard's hand, but oh.
I was just confirming.
Got it. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the commission may consider the late submission of agenda documents number 22-51-A, 22-51-B, 22-51-C, and 22-51-D.
Thank you very much. Any discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The motion is carried unanimously. We have two items on our agenda this morning. The first is advisory opinion request 2022-21, the DSCC Bennett for Colorado and People for Patty Murray. We're joined by the Office of General Counsel and also by Ms. Lopez of the Elias Law Group. And I see Ms. Jacobs, and I hope Mr. Peterson is on as well. Hello, sir. Welcome back. Ms. Tillman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, commissioners. Before you are four alternative draft advisory opinions, drafts A through D, responding to a request from the DSCC, Bennett for Colorado, and People for Patty Murray. The requesters ask whether the DSCC may pay for television advertisements labeled solicitations one and two in the request using its legal proceedings account, and whether Bennett for Colorado and People for Patty Murray may coordinate with the DSCC on the ads. With respect to solicitation one, drafts A, B, and C conclude that the DSCC may pay for solicitation one using the legal proceedings account. Those drafts also conclude that the candidate committees may coordinate with the DSCC on the ads because the limitations on coordinated expenditures by a national party committee do not apply to disbursements from the legal proceedings account. With respect to solicitation two, draft A concludes that the DSCC may not pay for solicitation two using funds in the legal proceedings account because disbursements from the legal proceedings account for that solicitation would be for the purpose of influencing a federal election. Draft B concludes that the DSCC may pay for solicitation two using the funds in the legal proceedings account, provided that the advertisements do not contain express advocacy, and may coordinate with the candidate committees on solicitation two in that circumstance. Draft C concludes that the DSCC may pay for solicitation two using funds in the legal proceedings account because solicitation two contains a solicitation for donations to the legal proceedings account and is therefore a permissible use of funds in that account. That draft also concludes that the DSCC may coordinate solicitation two with the candidate committees. Draft D concludes that the DSCC may pay for both solicitation one and solicitation two, subject to reasonable cost allocation among the DSCC's accounts, including the legal proceedings account, and that the candidate committees may coordinate solicitations with the DSCC, provided that those costs not reasonably allocable to the legal proceedings account are either consistent with the limits on coordinated expenditures by a national political party committee, or the DSCC treats those costs as in-kind contributions to the candidate with whom the advertisement is coordinated. We received three comments on the request, including one from the requester. We received one comment on the drafts from the requester. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Counselor. Colleagues, any questions for the Office of General Counsel or for Counsel for the requester?
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to OGC and Ms. Lopez. I read your comments this morning in support of draft D, and I just had some questions about, I guess, how the DSCC and the candidate committees would use this guidance, I guess, going forward. So, you know, the standard that draft D puts out is that these solicitations are permissible subject to reasonable cost allocation among its accounts, meaning the DSCC's accounts, to the extent those communications are attributable to more than one purpose. And I guess I'm wondering what your understanding is of how you would go about dividing up the purposes of the two proposed solicitations. Would you divide it based on, say, portions that are express advocacy and portions that are not, or portions that are solicitation portion or whatever it might be for the legal proceedings funds and those portions that are not? And, you know, I guess trying to get an understanding of how, if draft D were approved, how you would implement that or go about applying it to the proposed solicitations.
Appreciate the question, Commissioner, and grateful to all the commissioners for the clear thought and attention that has been put into this matter. When you get four drafts as a requester, you can tell that the commission is thinking long and hard about something. So want to say that on the front end. And Commissioner Cooksey, to your question, it's a good one. And I think the reason that I am so supportive of draft D is it adopts a standard that asks the regulated community to do what it does in so many different scenarios, right? Which is reasonably allocate based on the purpose. And this is something I will say I, as a practitioner, do all the time for my clients. I do it for multi-candidate advertisements. I do it for hybrid advertisements. I do it for phone scripts. And how I would do it in practice to give you a super practical answer, because we're 19 days out from an election. So I'll tell you, if you adopt draft D today, this is exactly what I'll do. I will wait to see a script from the ad consultants, and I will look at the script, and I will do my best to look at each portion of the ad and ask, based on the test that draft D lays out, what is the purpose of that portion? And if, for example, there's 5 seconds of the ad where it is express advocacy for Senator Patty Murray, I would say that is party coordinated communication, that portion of the ad. So I don't have like a nitty gritty answer to your question, because again, I think that is the beauty of draft D, is that it lets the regulated community do what it has proven very capable of doing for 30, 40 years, right? And reasonably allocate based on purpose. So I hope that helps.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Cookson.
But if I could ask a clarifying question, I mean, you noted that we're 19 days from the election. We're in the blackout period for party coordinated communication. So any communication that features any of these candidates is, triggered into a full party coordinated communication, regardless of the content, regardless of whether it includes express advocacy. So given that any ad paid for by the party committees that features a candidate is 100% a party coordinated communication, how does the allocation work then if there's also some solicitation to it?
So I would point you to 11 CFR 10921G as incorporated by 109.37A3, which says that if a federal candidate appears in an ad for the purpose of soliciting for a political committee and the ad does not pass to that candidate, you are not within the content prong. So I don't agree with the premise of the question, because I don't think that we are necessarily within the three-prong test of 109.37 as a de facto matter. And then beyond that, again, I would refer to what I think is a great standard in draft D of reasonable allocation based on purpose.
And Mr. Sherman?
Mr. Cooksey, please.
I guess one other sort of, again, final concern, and these mostly go to sort of the workability of it, which is that, and you know this, these problems with hybrid ads and things like that is sort of the division of audio elements and visual elements. I mean, you could imagine a situation in which the ad is just a straight attack ad for 30 seconds against the candidate who's, you know, the featured candidate for that jurisdiction. But for the entire 30 seconds, also at the bottom, there's a banner that just says, donate to the Legal Proceedings Fund. How would that be allocated?
It's a great question. And it's funny, it's one I actually asked myself last night, because I do, as you mentioned, this time of year, we do a lot of review of hybrid advertisements, and the audio visual balance is one that my colleague Rachel Jacobs and I have dealt with, and we talk about a lot together. So it's a great practical question, Commissioner. And I would say first, right, I will answer your question. I absolutely will. To go back to the beauty of draft D is, and this is what I find so useful in hybrids, is it lets the practitioners look at the ad and look at what is truly reasonable, because I've seen over the years ads evolve in ways that I cannot predict. And so I really appreciate a standard that allows for flexibility, because I actually think it better captures the purpose and you end up at a more legal, equitable result, right? When the practitioner or the client isn't so narrowly prescribed as to an exact formula. I do think if the commission wants to get more granular than drafty, I would absolutely welcome a rulemaking, would really look forward to participating in a rulemaking on getting more granular. But I think for now, drafty, I will say as a practitioner, gives me a standard that I feel very comfortable administering. And to answer your very specific question, for me, and I can't speak for any practitioner, and I'm not going to say there's not another reasonable way to do this consistent with drafty, but for me, if a full ad is an attack ad, and let's say 10% of the visual space is a solicitation the whole time, I would allocate 10% to the legal account and tell the client the rest of it you need to pay out of the general account, treat as a party coordinated communication if it meets 109.37. But again, I think that's the beauty of drafty is that it lets the client and the practitioner make a reasonable judgment call on that.
Thank you for the direct answer to the direct question. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Lopez, for that answer, because I am in consideration of drafty, but I think you were kind of talking around where the language is and what the communication is, but what your words, and I'd like you to repeat it again, is that if we have an ad that has 90% attack and then has the tagline, you see that as one is how is it allocated?
I would be conservative. And again, I'm not every practitioner, but I would not let a client pay for more than 10% of that ad out of the legal account, because I think 90% of that purpose is an attack ad. And a 10% banner on the bottom doesn't undo the fact that the rest of the ad is a pure attack ad. So I would allocate that at about 10%.
All right. Thank you. I'd appreciate that answer. As I said, I am supportive of draft D, and I did have some considerations of attempting to sway my colleagues with a little bit of a more specificity regarding the reasonable allocation portion. But I think there's sufficient in the regulations and the statutes to be able to give that guidance, and your assurances to the commission right now, I find very helpful. But I would say that if there does become a concern and your thoughts are changing and you're not as conservative, that take advantage of the opportunity to come back to the commission to ask for an advisory opinion request. But I'm satisfied with your answers. Thank you for be forthcoming.
Absolutely. And I very much welcome the invitation to come back. I found the ability to come to the commission this cycle and ask hard questions to be really valuable. So absolutely, Commissioner, if my mentality changes, or I find as a practitioner that there's real questions that would put my client, I think, in jeopardy as to whether I think the commission would vote with me, I will certainly advise them to come back.
Colleagues, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Lopez. I know you guys were up late last night getting us a comment. Having spent that time recently looking at the legislative history of these, what we call the Cromnibus accounts, did you see anything in the legislative history that suggests that that Congress intended that any of the funds in these legal proceedings accounts would be used or should be used for express advocacy communications?
So it's actually interesting. I'm actually really grateful for the question, Commissioner, because I spent a lot of time last night rereading not just the legislative history around the Appropriations Act, but a lot of the commission's prior advisory opinions and kind of the full history of how we've gotten here, starting with the pre-BCRA regulations on the recon account. And I'm sure as you know, Commissioner, because I know that this is something you are obviously very, very knowledgeable on, before BCRA, right? The regulations, I think as far back as 1977, have accepted from the definition of a contribution and expenditure recount expenses, right? And the idea being that a recount is not to influence a federal election. So therefore we're not going to count recount expenses as either a contribution or expenditure. And then things get interesting when BCRA gets passed. And I'm sorry, I know I'm really nerding out right now, but I actually think this is a really exciting opportunity to discuss this before the commission. BCRA gets passed, and I believe it was NRSC and the DSCC together came to the commission and said, well, oh, I'm sorry, I missed an important point in my journey. So even though we count expenses were not contributions or expenditures, the act has a different standard when it comes to prohibited sources. So you could raise as much money as you wanted and spend as much as you wanted on recount expenses. But because corporations and foreign nationals are prohibited from spending money in connection with the federal election, the commission has always recognized source limitations on the recount account. So you get these two different standards of to influence a federal election or in connection with the federal election. And the regulation said recounts are not to influence a federal election, but they're in connection with the federal election. So that's the kind of framework we've been operating under. BICR gets passed and it restricts the ability of federal candidates and national party committees to touch soft money in connection with the federal election. So the commission then gets asked, okay, what about now? There was always source restrictions, but now are there amount limitations because of BICR? And the commission, I think correctly, said Congress clearly intended for BICR to cover recounts because recounts have always been in connection with the federal election. The language of BICR is clear that federal candidates and national party committees cannot touch soft money in connection with the federal election. So yes, the amount limitations apply. But now you have a pickle, because now if the amount limitations apply, how do you have a separate limit for these accounts? How is it not just subject to the primary and general election limits? And I think what the commission did and what the regulated community did kind of together was to say, well, these expenses and the recount account can only be for recounts and in contests. They cannot be otherwise spent to influence a federal election. And that is how it is okay to get a separate limit, right? Because otherwise, why would you be able to raise this extra money if you're going to spend it to influence your primary or general election, right? I'm almost done. Enter the Appropriations Act, right? And you read the legislative history of the Appropriations Act, and Congress did two things that are very interesting. First, they created the account for three purposes. And I know there's disagreement on this, but I'll state my position because I'm excited to have the opportunity to do so. I think Congress very clearly said the legal proceedings account is for recounts, contests, and other legal proceedings. I think the term and other legal proceedings has a clear purpose. It is to create a third category of expenses. Then Congress did something further. It exempted spending out of the legal proceedings account from the coordinated party spending limits. If Congress did not intend to authorize at least some spending on other legal proceedings that could be to influence a federal election, there would have been no need to exempt that account from the coordinated party spending limits. So I think that it has always been clear under commission regulations, statutes, advisory opinions, that spending on a recount or a contest is not to influence a federal election, the election's over. I think Congress then added a third category of and other legal proceedings and accepted that sometimes those other legal proceedings could, by means of how the proceeding goes, influence a federal election and therefore exempted the spending from the coordinated party spending limits. That's the journey I went on last night and where I am. So long answer to your question.
Mr. Weintraub, are you about to ask about Federalist 58 or do I need to?
I was not about to ask about Federalist 58. I was going to follow up on my original question.
All yours.
Thank you. But I can't wait to hear about Federalist 58. I'm going to go back to what I asked. Do you think that this legal proceedings account is allowed to spend money on express advocacy communications? Your comment that you submitted last night and your explanation just now talks a lot about other legal proceedings. Do you define other legal proceedings to include express advocacy communications?
I would define other legal proceedings to include a legal proceeding that touches on express advocacy. I can't see how a communication itself would ever be a legal proceeding, right? Like on the plane. So there's two things, right? I think we're talking about two things. We're talking about paying for a legal proceeding and then paying for fundraising for the account, right? And when you're talking about the term legal proceeding and paying for a legal proceeding, no, I can't imagine a legal proceeding that involves paying for an express advocacy communication, right? And then I think the commission is dealing with a slightly different question with the requested issue, which is what is a permissible fundraising expense for the legal proceedings account? And I think, again, I would go back to draft D, which I think lays out a very clear standard to figure that out. I, as a practitioner, and I think this is one of the questions, like the great question from Commissioner Cooksey about, let's say the ad is express advocacy and has 10% of the bottom. that's how I would allocate that. So to answer your question, no, I wouldn't allocate the express advocacy part to the legal proceedings account. I wouldn't say you can pay for that from the legal proceedings account, but if there's a legal solicitation involved, I agree with draft D and that you can allocate. Does that answer your question?
Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kind of. I think it is informative to know what you would do. You know, you're making a representation of how you would allocate the expenses in a particular ad. You've acknowledged, and I think this is correct, that these legal proceedings accounts are not supposed to pay for express advocacy communications. Let me just say, I certainly had nothing to do with the writing of these statutory provisions, and Congress could have made it a lot easier to implement if they just raised the contribution limit and didn't put them in all these separate buckets. But Congress, in its infinite wisdom, chose not to do that. They chose to say, we're going to have these expanded contribution limits, which are really pretty generous. They're, you know, over $100,000 at this point for each of these three accounts. And but they're for these specific purposes. Like I said, it would be much easier to implement if they just raised the contribution limit, but they didn't do that. So when I look at your request, as you describe solicitation two, the communications would conclude by asking for a donation by displaying a written online web page. And then, you know, there's further explanation about how that would work. But the communications would also expressly advocate for or against candidates or include policy positions about candidates and are coordinated with those candidates and would be disseminated in the jurisdiction where they're running. So as I understand this description of this ad, and tell me if I'm wrong, it sounds like it could be an entire ad that is all about express advocacy for a candidate, the very same candidate who is on screen in the jurisdiction where the candidate is running. And then there's a line across the screen that says, you know, donate to the legal recount fund, the legal proceedings fund. Now, you've told me how you would allocate that, but under draft D, as you pointed out, people have options. So what would preclude someone from saying, well, we are only raising funds in this ad for the legal recount fund. Under the funds received method, we're going to allocate 100% of this ad cost to the legal proceedings fund. Is there anything in draft D that would preclude that?
I absolutely think so. I think the commission would have the full power to say, that is not a reasonable allocation. Draft D is very clear that you have to reasonably allocate according to the purpose. And if you put up an ad that is 29 seconds of express advocacy and 1 second of a solicitation, that is absolutely not reasonable. And I will say, Commissioner, I absolutely appreciate the question because that's always the concern when you set a standard is then how do you enforce it, right? I absolutely get it. And I would just repeat that this is something the regulated community has proven it is very capable of doing. Reasonably allocating in many different circumstances. And it's something that as counsel, I deal with every day. And I've never, you know, there's always some tough judgment calls around the edges, but I think it is something that again, we have proven very capable of doing. And to the extent that any entity in the operating in the space goes too far, the commission can afford to enforce against them. And I would also say again, I welcome a rulemaking on this topic. I think draft D does an extraordinary job of answering a tough question in a practical way that gives sorely needed guidance to my clients when there's still time left to take advantage of the answer. I think I've said over and over again as a practitioner, and I think the commission itself has expressed this, that the advisory opinion process is just one of the most powerful tools the commission has to get the regulated community timely guidance. It's never going to be perfect, right? Because you only get to opine on a specific set of facts. It is not a rulemaking. You're only answering my specific question. So I take your point. I think to the extent that the commission wants to get more granular, I would very much welcome a rulemaking. We're very happy to submit a renewed request for a rulemaking on behalf of the DSCC. I'm sure they would welcome it. But again, I think that the standard laid out in draft D is very workable, and the commission would be free and should enforce against someone who goes too far and is not reasonably allocating.
Michael? I understand. I appreciate what you're saying, Ms. Lopez, but in my experience on the commission, when the commission says, you know, do something in a reasonable way, people tend to have different determinations of what they think is reasonable. And it is difficult in the enforcement context to find four votes for commissioners say, well, they thought they were being reasonable, but we have decided that what they thought was reasonable was not. I find that is a difficult hill to climb around here. And I am concerned that draft D provides so much latitude that the scenario that I outlined probably would be adopted by someone. I'm glad to hear that you wouldn't do it that way, but other people are going to be able to look at this advisory opinion and say, well, I am also running ads like this, and I'm going to come up with my own reasonable determination, which it says I can do in this advisory opinion. And I'd be interested in hearing from my colleagues whether they think that they would find it comfortable in the enforcement context to say, well, this person said they thought that was reasonable to allocate 100%, but we don't think that's true. You know, I don't know whether commissioners are willing to say, you know, there's no way you could use 100% out of the recount funds to fund an ad that includes express ads. I'd be interested in hearing if any of my colleagues care to opine on that, but that's my concern about draft D, that it leaves an awful lot of latitude. And I think that and on its face, it would allow for the legal proceedings fund, which I think we both agreed was never intended to fund express advocacy communications, to in fact fund some part, perhaps all, of express advocacy communication.
Further discussion? Are there any motions? Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that we have gotten a little bit of clarification last night. So I am supportive of draft A. The draft A includes on page 8, line 7, a sentence that says, the commission assumes that solicitation 1 would also not promote or support or attack or oppose any federal candidate, because that information is included only in requested description of solicitation 2. But based on the comment we received last night from the requester, we now know that it will not. So I think that sentence would have to be revised, and the simplest way to revise it is just to say solicitation 1 would also not promote or support or attack or oppose any federal candidate, and include footnote 22, but delete the rest of the sentence. And with that amendment, I move approval of draft A, which is agenda document 22-51-A.
Thank you, Commissioner. Discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion fails with 1 in favor, Commissioner Weintraub, and 5 opposed, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Broussard, Commissioner Cooksey, Commissioner Traynor, and myself. Further motions? Commissioner Lindenbaum, excuse me, Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. Before I make this motion, I do also want to just commend the Office of General Counsel for their really great quick work here. 4 drafts is a lot, and draft D has a different legal theory that was very well thought out. I know I was certainly impressed by it. So thank you to the Office of General Counsel for getting us to this point. So in advisory opinion 2022-21, I move approval of draft D.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Let me pause briefly. Any discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion passes with 4 in favor, myself, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Broussard, and Commissioner Traynor, and 2 opposed, Commissioner Cooksey and Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you very much. My thanks to Council and to the Office of General Counsel and to all of my colleagues. I think everyone involved had a late night. I will say, as the office that asked for draft D, I owe a personal apology to my colleagues for how this all went down, but I'm glad we were able to get there. Thank you very much. The next matter on our agenda is a notice of availability for a regulation. There's been a lot of talk about the need for regulations around here, and this is an effort in that direction. Regulation 2022-05 regarding conduit reporting thresholds. Ms. Ruckler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, commissioners. Agenda document 2022-50-A contains a draft notification of availability for a petition for rulemaking submitted to the commission by WinRed Incorporated, a non-connected political committee. The commission asked the commission to amend its existing regulations regarding the threshold amount at which conduits forwarding contributions to political committees must identify the contributors to the recipient political committees and the commission. The notification seeks comment on whether the commission should commence rulemaking based on this petition. The comment period will run for 60 days following publication of the notification in the Federal Register. After the comment period has concluded and after the comments have been considered, the commission may decide whether to initiate the rulemaking. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Councillor. Colleagues, any discussion or questions for the Office of General Counsel? Very good. Are there any motions? Well, this is going to be really anticlimactic. Commissioner Cooksey, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to take a shot. With respect to the notice of availability for Reg 2022-05 conduit reporting thresholds, I move approval of agenda document number 22-50-A.
Thank you very much, sir. Colleagues, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion is carried unanimously. And may I say, I believe on behalf of all of us, this is a sincere request for engagement by the public. So please do take the opportunity to file comments. Very good. I think that exhausts our agenda. Mr. Staff Director, are there any administrative or management matters requiring our attention this morning?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Thank you very much, sir. We are adjourned.